Hello and welcome to the Knee Pain Guru podcast series. My name is Bill Paravano, and this series of podcasts is where we go over different topics and challenges that individuals are experiencing regarding chronic knee pain. This is episode 3, and this is going to be a question and answer session. So these questions are ones that clients and individuals have sent in to me that are looking for some guidance and direction as far as their issues with knee pain. I'm going to put in my standard disclaimer. This information is not anything I say in this podcast is not to be construed as medical advice. Only doctors can give medical advice. So if you do have any questions regarding anything that is said here, please refer to your licensed healthcare professional to give you direction on that, insight on that. However, this is information that has benefited both myself and countless clients over the past 10 years since I had torn the ligament in my left knee. So that is kind of my shtick there as far as my approach. So what I want to do is get into the questions here. I have a question here from Carlos from Brazil. It says, "Hi, Bill. I had my first meniscus surgery on my right knee in 1997 in San Francisco. The doctor advised me not to remove the torn meniscus, but stitched it. The knee never recovered, and in 2000, I had a second knee, it buckled again and went in for a second surgery. The torn part got removed. I still have knee pain. I'm happy to be able to walk pain-free. My left knee also hurts a bit. I used to do martial arts, yoga, hiking, running. Now I have to stop all these activities. I do some walking every day and simple squats and IT band stretching. I take glucosamine and chondroitin. I always drink lots of water and have a healthy lifestyle. 6 months ago, a physiotherapist suspects I may have broken my ACL. That's the ligament in the knee. In June, I'm going for an MRI. In case the ACL is broken, do you suggest I go in for surgery again, or do you believe your exercise is sufficient?" Okay. Well, Carlos, here's the deal. The decision of whether or not to go with an ACL replacement is a very dynamic decision, and your doctor is probably going to give you similar suggestions. A lot of it depends on your age. For me, when I blew out my ACL, when I tore it, I was in my late 20s, and I still foresaw myself doing lots of physical activities. And that is really a huge indication of what type of physical activities that you would want to continue with. And if the physical activities you're going to be involved with are going to do a lot of twisting and turning and side-to-side movements, you need your ACL in order to do that. However, if you're going to do simple things like hiking and walking and yoga, there are plenty of people that have torn their ACLs that are still living healthy lives without any problems and doing those types of activities. They may have to be a little careful, however, that's something certainly they are able to continue and do. One thing that I'd like to make a distinction here is that the difference between when an ACL is indicated that it's torn, there are two different types of torn ligaments or torn ACLs. One is a partially torn and one is a fully torn. And in my case, what I did is I partially tore the ligament three times in my left knee. And what happens is each time the body compensated and it partially tore it in a different spot. When I actually had the surgery, the ligament had been fully torn after the fourth time, and it was only 30% connected on one end. Now, if I would have been smarter, if I would have been patient with myself, if I would have allowed my body to heal, the ligament potentially could have healed in my knee if I partially tear it. Now, ligaments take a very long time to heal because they do not have a blood supply of their own. So if you're diagnosed with a partially torn ligament and you give it time to heal, then it can heal on its own. It just takes a while, and you have to be patient, and that usually means suspending a lot of the activities that you were doing that injured your knee in the first place. So there's that. Now, if a ligament is fully torn, we go back to that initial scenario that I had talked about, looking at your age, looking at how active you are, looking at if you want to continue that type of physical activity. A lot of times, if people tear their ACLs when they're in their 40s and their 50s, a lot of people don't even go through with the surgery because they don't plan on being as active. So that's a completely different situation. So once again, you have to look at a lot of factors, and there's not one blanket answer that's going to address your situation easily. You're going to have to look at a lot of dynamics. There's the cost of the surgery. There is your age. There is the different types of surgery that they can do. They can do a patella replacement, which is part of the tendon that holds your kneecap in place, where they replace the ligament in your knee. There is the hamstring replacement, which they take part of the muscle in your hamstring to replace the ligament in your knee. And then, of course, there's a cadaver replacement, which they take a ligament from a deceased person and use that as a replacement for the ligament in your knee. All of those have benefits. All of those have drawbacks, whether it be in terms of cost, whether in terms of pain, different types of pain, recovery time. Those are all going to be different. So it's something that you're going to want to definitely look into and look at all of the different options. Carlos continues on and says he lives in Brazil. Can he still access my video series? Yes, absolutely, as long as there isn't any problems with your browser or internet connection. That shouldn't be a problem. And the virtual clinic, he asked about my virtual clinic, which is that's what I have on my website, thekneepainguru.com, and I go into the five areas that I believe contribute to complete recovery from a knee injury. And that, of course, is going on the assumption that nothing is broken or torn in your knee. And if something that has been broken or torn, it's been fixed or it's healed, and you've gotten the green light from your doctor. And I go into five key areas in that section of my website, and it addresses water, nutrition, exercise, stretching, and breathing. And all of those deal directly with how the important water is in your recovery, the nutrition, the proper food you need for your body, the fuel for your body to heal the damaged cells, creating space in the joint, proper stretching, exercise, which is the strength aspect of it, strengthening the tendons and ligaments in your knee itself, and then breathing, which is, of course, the space that is the tension and stress that builds up in your nervous system as a result of being alive. So, anyhow, Carlos, I hope that gives you some insight as to how to approach with your issue with surgery. And of course, this is kind of putting the cart before the horse, so to speak. You got to go see what the doctor says. Get the MRI and see what the MRI is indicating with your knee, and it may be something completely different. So, okay. I am going to go on to the next question. It is from Christina. It says, "Hi, Bill. Thanks so much for your nice video. I was in a recent auto accident that caused a lot of trauma to my knee. Thankfully, no tendons or ligaments were torn, but it has been 3 weeks since the accident, and the knee is still swollen. I wasn't very good about icing the knee at first, but this past week I tried very hard to do the ice and elevate my leg. I saw your video and was wondering what you mean by finding a place of comfort in the knee to let it drain out. Can you explain that to me? Thank you kindly. Christina." Yes, Christina. The place of comfort is a place that your body does not feel tension or stress from the injury. Now, of course, let me qualify that. The place of comfort is relative. If we're looking at your knees, looking on a scale from 1 to 10, and your knee pain is at a 9, and we find a place of comfort for your knee in a specific direction, the tension that's causing pain in your knee can drop down from a 9 to a 7. Now, of course, having a knee pain with a level of a 7, you're still experiencing knee pain. However, comfort at a 7 is relatively less painful than at a 9. And the idea with this is when you put your body in a position of comfort, or in this case, your knees in a position of comfort, what's happening is your nervous system. You have the proprioceptive nervous system. That's where we know where we are in time and space, how your body moves in the world. And the nervous system, of course, is made up of nerves. Makes sense, right? So when you feel pain, these nerves are being squeezed on. These nerves are being interfered with. And when the nerves are being interfered with, that sends a signal to your brain that you have pain. Well, what happens is when you have an injury, and like you were in this car accident, your body tenses up to protect itself, which is your body's natural response to that impact, to protect itself from getting injured further. It's functional for the injury. However, it's dysfunctional for you to go back into your life and function without pain. So you can think of it, it's like the initial impact. There was you held your breath and everything in your body tensed up, then the impact, and your body kind of held on to that tension. That's so the bones didn't get broken, or something wasn't torn, or whatever the case may be. So now you go back into your life and the swelling isn't going down. There's still problems in your knee. And in my experience, what I have seen is a good portion of that is due to the fact that the body is tensing up to protect itself. So when we find a position of comfort for your knees, it's like unkinking the garden hose. Because in that position of comfort, the pressure on those nerves that are causing the pain in your knees, that are causing the swelling in your knees, are the pressure is taken off. Or with the comfort being relative, it's reduced. So what happens is now there's space for the blood and the oxygen to begin to get in those areas and heal what's going on with your knees. So what that means for with the swelling in your knees, as you create more space, as you're in that position of comfort, your nervous system begins to drop down and let go of that tension and stress that's stuck in there. Meaning you switch over from the fight, flight, or freeze, from the impact, to the rest and relax. And this has a very much of a beneficial effect not only on your knees, however, it also has a beneficial effect on the rest of your body. Because consequently, when you have pain and swelling in the knees, it's difficult for you to sleep. And when you don't sleep, your body can't recover as well. So it's like this compounding thing that's going on in your body. Your body's stuck in this kind of this downward spiral of pain, tension, discomfort. More pain, more tension, more discomfort. And that consequently is the holding pattern that many people who are experiencing chronic knee pain get into, and they can't get an answer anywhere else. There's no one out there going, well, look at the tension in your nervous system. No one out there is saying that this is a natural response of your body to protect itself from the injury. Most of the approaches out there is wanting to go and fix the knees, which is well and novel and good. However, if we aren't looking at the bigger picture of what's happening in your entire structure, then it's not very it really doesn't make sense on a bigger picture. So, Christina, I hope that helps. I hope that helps for you in explaining what the unkinking the garden hose, finding a place of comfort. And ironically, the very next question is from, I believe it's CB. And it says, I watched your video on treatment for knee fluid buildup. You mentioned to find a place of comfort in your knee to unkink the garden hose. How do I find that place of comfort and what should I do? I had a knee injury a couple of weeks ago and there is minimal pain, but now I have a swollen knee still. Thanks, CB. Okay. And this can go for Christina as well. As far as when the knee swells up, there can be more than just the tension in the knee. Of course, the body swells up as a way to respond to damaged tissue, to injury. Like when you bruise yourself, the body will swell up some in order to bring the nutrients in there or what the body needs to heal the damaged tissue. So that's something to consider, and there are lots of herbs that can help with the swelling with that. And that's I have that actually on my Bill Recommends section of the Knee Pain Guru website. Get in there, and I have various links to products that specific herbs like rosemary and turmeric, green tea, and ginger. Those are phenomenal herbs in terms of addressing inflammation in your body. However, that's not always the entire answer, and that's why in my virtual clinic I go into those five different areas which address your diet as well, because there are some foods that you can eat that will specifically create inflammation in your body. Foods that irritate your gut, that irritate your intestines, the walls of your intestines. And when you eat those foods, what happens is it creates an inflammation situation in your structure. And you could imagine, you know, you eat that plate of pasta or that those slices of bread. And what happens is after you eat those, excuse me, you get that full feeling in your belly. Well, the full feeling in your belly is actually inflammation that's taking place. Now, that doesn't seem like that big of a deal. However, when you have a situation like swelling in your knees, now your body is not only trying to deal with the swelling and inflammation in your knees, it's also trying to deal with this chronic inflamed state in your intestines and in the rest of your body. And it causes a whole host of other issues that shows up unrelated to knee pain that we see around us. Situations where there's leaky gut and celiac disease and irritable bowel syndrome and a lot of those that are caused as a result of primarily grains that we eat on a daily basis. So by incorporating or eliminating these types of foods, these gut irritants, what happens is the body now does not have to fight itself to get rid of the inflammation, and it can do a much better and more efficient job of healing the swelling in the knees. And then to add the herbs in to it as well, it really makes for a 1-2 combination that does a phenomenal job as far as healing the swelling and inflammation in your body. Okay, let's see. Got a question here from Michael. My problem is constant pain after a very small accident that caused a tear in my meniscus and an arthroscopy some 20 months ago. I had some good time after the operation, but the small pain was there. And one day, 4 months ago, when trying to run to catch a bus, I suddenly felt a very sharp pain on the inner side of my knee, most probably where the part of the meniscus was removed. The pain was so sharp and intense that I was unable to walk for a few days. Then I noticed an advertisement on the television about osteobiflex tablets and started taking them 2 a day. Together with an ointment, which I have applied to the area of the missing meniscus twice a day. This ointment is called Nodol, D-O-L, and contains glucosamine. After going through this self-treatment, the situation has improved a lot. I can walk again and do my job, but the pain is there, not too bad. I cannot run anymore. Hope to receive your comments. Michael. I'm not familiar with these osteobiflex tablets, and I'm not familiar with these Nodol, the ointment as well. And once again, it goes back to the fundamentals of what I talk about those 5 points, the water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. And with those, you create the conditions that it makes inevitable for your knees to get out of pain. You have to look at water. If your body doesn't have enough water to clean itself out, it's like the garbage men are on strike. And you have all of these waste products, meaning cells that are being produced and die every day, that if they are not able to be flushed out, they just sit in your system. And that creates a toxic state. It creates an acidic state like battery acid, and it sits in the areas of most tension, like in your knees, if your knee's having pain. It irritates the nerve endings, and sends a signal to your brain that you have knee pain. So water is very important, and I talked about nutrition before. If you don't have the proper fuel, it's like running a gasoline engine on diesel fuel. It's not going to work right. And it's the same thing when we don't eat the proper foods. And I constantly talk to clients, I talk to people who are like, yes, I have a good diet. And from the outside looking in, they do have a very good diet. They probably don't eat lots of processed foods. They don't eat things that they may not go to fast food restaurants. They cook at home. However, the very same things that they're eating is still causing what's going on in their knees. And it, you're looking at what is creating an irritation. Excuse me. I have a tickle in my throat today, so just ignore that. The very same foods that they're eating are causing their problems, and even though it may be fresh and natural and all of that kind of good stuff, it still can be creating the problem in their body. And the next is stretching. And, of course, you want to stretch where the body feels normal, how it normally moves. And if you're feeling choppy, like you're walking on stilts and you're afraid to take a step, well, then that's not very natural. So you need to look at dynamic stretching. And, of course, the strengthening, which is strengthening the tendons and ligaments in the knee joint itself. And most of the exercises out there that I see about strengthening the knees talk about strengthening the muscles in the legs. Well, there's, it's really, if you check out any muscle anatomy chart on the internet, there are no muscles in your knees. You only have tendons and ligaments. So how do you strengthen the tendons and ligaments? Make those strong and flexible. And then the last one is the breathing, and that you're looking at the tension and stress that builds up in the nervous system as a result of just being alive. And there are certain breathing techniques that you can use, proper breathing techniques, that will allow you to relax the tension and stress in your nervous system, creating the space your joint needs in order to be able to let the blood and the oxygen get in there when the body's too tight before. So it's a very comprehensive approach, and it all needs to be looked at. And if you leave any one of them out, you're not going to get the whole story. You're not going to get the whole picture. And consequently, I see people there. I have a buddy who, he had surgery a couple years before I did. He injured his knee several years before I did, and he had the same type of surgery that I did. So I blew out my knee in 98, 99. I had the surgery. So he did his in like 95, 96. And to this day, he still has pain. And it's like the definition of insanity. If you're continuing to do this same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And so many people are like, well, I'll take a pill, or I'll put a cream on it or something like that, an ointment. And they end up in the same type of situation years and years later. It may go away for a period of time, yet there's not enough awareness and understanding of what's happening inside their knee, inside their body, to know what they need to pull out when they have knee problems. That's just what I've seen, and it seems to be a fact. So, okay, Michael, I hope I didn't burst your bubble. However, to not look at the bigger picture, to not look at the bird's eye view of what's happening in the body. And I know, believe me, I know it's so difficult when you're experiencing that knee pain to be able to get that distance. Yet it's important and it's imperative to be able to do that. So, okay. Now, we're on to Roxanne. She has a question. She doesn't feel she's ready to start using my techniques just yet. She broke her patella and had surgery about a week ago. The surgeon told me that he removed the broken pieces of bone and secured my ligament to the remaining part of my patella. Okay. there are no, well, there may be. The patella is primarily held in your knee with tendons, not ligaments. However, I'm in a leg immobilizer and can walk in it. My question is that twice in the past week I've tried to stand from a sitting position and probably put too much pressure on my knee and heard a crack and then was in extreme pain. After 24 hours, things calmed down. I am told that it will take 6 weeks to recover, but my doctor has told me I can go back to work and do most things that don't require bending my knee. Good luck. I'm terrified that I will re-injure my knee and have to go back to surgery again. What is your advice for the recovery period? Just lie around with my leg elevated for 6 weeks. Ensure that your exercises are intended to be used after the 6 weeks. Is that correct? Absolutely. The majority of the exercises in my book are going to be beneficial once you get the green light from your doctor. So, Roxanne, make sure you follow your doctor's advice. However, what the advice for the recovery period, and the recovery period, of course, you're probably going to be in some sort of physical therapy in that period of time, and do what your physical therapist or your doctor recommends for you to do. However, this is an opportune time to start doing things and setting things up. Create the conditions that make it inevitable for you to get out of knee pain. And that's where you can start making sure you drink plenty of water. That's where you can start making sure you eat the proper foods that begin to eliminate that inflammation, and potential supplementation with certain herbs, certain supplements that'll promote your body to heal itself quicker. Your doctor may have some thoughts on that as well. However, as far as what your doctor is suggesting as far as exercises, that would be definitely what you would want to go with. Now, if you can walk with the immobilizer, it's very important for swelling purposes to move around, because what you're dealing with is the pelvis. Your pelvis is the pump of your lymphatic system. And your lymphatic system, of course, is like the garbage man. It needs to clean out all the waste products in your body. And if you don't move, the lymph isn't able to be pumped, and your body isn't able to clean itself out. Perfect example. good thought. However, the example is if you've ever seen someone bedridden or someone who's they've called hospice in and their body is shutting down. What happens is their body begins to swell. And the reason being is because their lymphatic system, it's not moving. They're not getting any movement. So consequently, they need to bring in nurses or someone to move this person that's in bed around in order to get the lymph pumping to clean itself out. That's a perfect example. So when we experience swelling and inflammation in our bodies, when we're not moving around enough, that means that to some degree we're having similar issues as a person who doesn't get moved, that's lying in bed all the time. So even if it's only for a couple minutes with that leg immobilizer, getting around and moving around a little bit is definitely going to be beneficial for you. And, of course, you're going to want to drink lots of water before you move around, which facilitates your body's ability to clean itself out. So, Roxanne, I hope that helps you. And, of course, when that 6 weeks is up and your doctor gives you the green light, I'd suggest you getting into those exercises that I have in my book. Those are going to be phenomenal for you, and they're going to help build up those tendons and ligaments in your knee. So, okay. The next question is from Chris. My knee pain is on the top of my knee joint. I am 48, but my structure as an Asian Indian is medium, and my weight is 65 kilograms, which is probably like 135 pounds-ish. And at present, 64.8. I practice yoga, and I do 600 skippings every day. I'm assuming skipping as an Asian Indian is similar to skippings as a white Caucasian. So I'm going we'll assume a skipping is a skipping, like a jumping rope type of deal. My knee muscle has a pulling sort of pain when I sit and fold my leg. I'm getting this sort of pain recently for 2 weeks. Can you suggest something that I can do to get rid of this pain? Well, Chris, a lot of it, when you have that sort of pulling, the pain when you fold your legs, is a lot to do with tension patterns. You remember I was talking, addressing, I think it was Christina's question earlier, that when we move a certain way, the body is supposed to be in balance. Ultimately, that's what we're striving for, to have everything in balance. And when everything is in balance, everything moves properly. Everything is draining the way it's supposed to, meaning the body is flushing itself out. It has everything it needs to heal what's going on, any damaged cells, to be able to replace it. It has the water it needs to flush itself out. It has the strength it needs to keep it in balance. Anything that's too tight has been stretched. So we have that. There's relaxation in the nervous system. So the body isn't squeezing too close together. So everything is in balance. That's the ideal situation with the body. And then there's relatively no pain. So when you fold your leg a certain way and you're experiencing pain a certain way, that means something is pulling in a way that it's not supposed to. And this is where I talk about taking the body to a position of comfort. And in that position of comfort, we're looking for the nervous system to recognize that comfort and begin to unwind and let go of that tension it's holding on to, so it can correct itself. And when we're talking about the reflexes in the body, it's the same thing like when a doctor taps your knee with the hammer and your knee jumps. We're looking for those to engage those same types of reflexes when we put the body in a position of comfort. And this is one of those things that it's really, really difficult to – I could talk about this all day long. I have a ton of videos. I actually there's probably over 30-some different videos that go over different ranges of motion you can get the knee in that take it to a position of comfort and allow the reflexes to engage and let go of the tension that it's holding on to. So one of the things that I can suggest is sign up for my virtual clinic, and you can get that information by going to freekneepainreport.com and get the report, and then all of the information is in there on how you can access the virtual clinic. So, Chris, I hope that helps you, and believe me, the exercises or the stretching section of that website is, well, of course, I'm a little biased because it's my website. However, it does have some really good information in there that's going to help you. So, okay, here is James. And it said, I started using your ebook and DVD. I find your instructions very clear and helpful, and I'm on the fourth day in exercise. I'm 71 years old, and in the last few years, my knees have become stiffer. 6 weeks ago, I experienced during my Tai Chi training, excruciating pain in my right knee. I had my knees x-rayed and ultrasounded. On both knees, it showed Baker's cysts with fragment floating around the popliteal fossa. It also showed effusion, mainly in the right knee, and orthopedic surgeons was very keen to do a total knee replacement. They insist, saying that effusion was due to my arthritic condition, but they did not recommend aspiration. Well, I did, because it gave me a great deal of trouble, so the aspiration was done, and it wasn't water. It was 150 milliliters of old blood, which was there because of the tear in the meniscus cartilage. I'm a massage therapist, and I believe the body will heal itself given the chance. That's why I ordered your book. But realistically, do you think that I have a chance? I also know that one has to strengthen connective tissue before it can work on muscles. In America, you have a thing that is called prolotherapy, and that it is recognized as successful treatment for exactly the same problem I am having. But in this country, Australia, it is not recognized as medical treatment, and doctors are not performing it because of insurance complications. Okay. Kind regards, James. Got it. Now, what you're looking at as far as the aspiration that James is talking about is when they drained what was going on in his knee, the swelling. James has a lot going on, and when you're looking at an arthritic condition, and I talked about this in episode 2 of my of these series of audios that I'm doing, these podcasts, I went into the details on arthritis. What happens, my feeling in arthritis, is that there's tension that's going on in the knee. And when the knee squeezes real tight together, and you can simulate this by squeezing your hand together just for a few seconds and then opening it up, you'll see that blood is squeezed out of the hand. Makes it very difficult for blood and oxygen to get in there to flush out the old stuff. And this is what seems to have happened in James's knee, and which is why they removed 150 milliliters of old blood. Because what happens is when the tension pattern is there and there's an injury inside the knee, the blood has nowhere to go because it gets stuck in that place, and this causes problems. And eventually that dries out and can become a cyst, can lead to issues as far as that goes. So the idea is to create the space so the body can begin to flush itself out, thus the unkinking the garden hose, create a position of comfort that creates space in the joint that allows the body to flush itself out. Of course, you got to drink enough water to be able to flush that that old material out of the knee. So that's going to begin to create the conditions where the knee can begin to heal itself. Now, the prolotherapy that James is talking about is basically what, and I have several friends who have used it to great success, both receive prolotherapy and who give prolotherapy. I have a friend who's an osteopath out in California, and he recommends prolotherapy to a lot of his clients. And what it is it's injecting an irritant, and a lot of times all it needs to be is water that they will inject at the point of a ligament or a tendon or an area that has a problem healing. And when they inject that water or that irritant, what happens is it causes inflammation locally at that specific point. And when it creates the irritation locally, it will cause the body's healing response at that point, creating almost like it causes it to heal just at that one spot, which will promote healing. So that's certainly an option. I guess James didn't give me enough information. He didn't really say he had torn the meniscus cartilage till kind of after the fact, and I really think in this case, if something is broken or torn, you go back to the fundamentals. If something is broken or torn, you get the feedback from your doctor what you need to do to fix what's broken or torn. Of course, in this situation, it looks like the doctor is wanting to do a total knee replacement, which is a kind of an easy solution for the doctor. However, in terms of the bigger picture of what's going on, I don't know if it's necessarily going to get rid of the situations in James's body that had created the knees to begin with. So I kind of use the example of if your check oil light comes on in your car, you don't unplug the fuse for the light or pull out the bulb. You go underneath the engine or you take it to a mechanic to figure out what's going on. So it's kind of like the same thing. If you have something going on with your knees, look at the bigger picture, zoom out, and get all of the conditions right so the body can begin healing itself, and surgery may not necessarily be the answer. So, James, hopefully that helps and gives you a better idea and understanding of what's happening. And if not, go to my website, thekneepainguru.com, and give me some feedback on my blog there. It'll, in the different areas, I have lots of different topics on different things, arthritis and torn cartilage and things like that. So definitely leave me some feedback and let me know how that's going. So next question, Mark asks, can footwear cause my knee pain? Absolutely. If you have, your body is all connected. There isn't one part that you can separate without it affecting the rest of your body. Meaning, like if you stub your toe, your whole body has to compensate for the stub toe. So what happens? You stub your toe, your heel comes up off the ground, you pull your toes back, you bend your knee, you pull your hip up, and then you shift your weight over to the other side to protect that side of your body. So now your hips and your lower back have to compensate for the leg or the foot that you're not putting the pressure on because of the stubbed toe. Now more pressure goes into the opposite hip, the opposite knee, and the opposite foot. And the same thing, your shoulders begin to tighten up, as well as your back, because it needs to compensate for that injury. It needs to compensate for what's going on in your body. And as it compensates, this affects everything. You could think of it like a sailboat. And in order to pull the to pull the rope to make the sail go full mast, the ropes have to be all in a line properly. And if you have a knot in one of those ropes, it's going to tangle it up and you're not going to be able to pull the sail all the way up. Your body functions the very same way. So if you have a kink somewhere, if you're wearing shoes that are causing problems, then your body has to compensate for that. And it can throw the tension into your knees, into your hips, into your lower back, into your upper back, into your neck, into your shoulders. Mark, let me put it this way. You can get a headache from wearing the incorrect type of shoes. So it would go in the same vein that can affect you in a way to cause knee pain. So anyhow, that is definitely, you want to take that into consideration when buying shoes. A lot of the problems women have, and when they wear really high heels, this causes issues in their ankles, their knees, and their hips. That causes all sorts of issues in their lower back. As good as women look in high heels, it's also very damaging to their structure. Now, I have clients that I've worked with that will, if they wear heels for a short period of time, then they know they need to wear comfortable shoes that allows their body to relax and let go of that tension and stress that was caused by wearing the heels for the night out or whatever the case was. Okay, next question from Dollop. My knees do not hurt. There is no swelling, but I cannot run as I used to. I can walk a few kilometers without any pain, but for the last 2 years, unlike my right leg, my left leg cannot be bent from the knee to touch the inner thigh. It only goes halfway. If I do sit-ups due to the left leg, I can only do half sit-ups. Can it be improved? Okay, it sounds like it's a hip issue. And consequently, and like I was talking before in the previous question with Mark, that if you have an issue in one area of your body, how it affects the others. And depending how your body tensed up to protect itself from whatever the perceived injury, and it doesn't even have to be an injury, it can be an emotional experience that the body feels stress and tension and it compensates for it. It's one of those situations where, like, you're on the phone with somebody and all of a sudden you hang up the phone and it's like, oh, I'm glad to be off that call. And then someone asks you, well, why are you wearing your shoulders as earrings? It's because your shoulders are tense and you don't even have an awareness that that tension is built up in your body. So it's the same thing if you have issues in certain area of your body, maybe your knees, it could be your hips, that the body is compensated. And it ends up being a chicken or egg thing. What came first? We don't necessarily know. However, that is something that needs to be looked at and needs to be addressed because it affects your entire structure. So a lot of the issues with knees, there's a direct correlation with what is going on in the hips and lower back. It has to compensate. The body has to compensate to protect what's going on there. And I believe as long as nothing is broken or torn, if we rule that out, you get an X-ray, a CT scan, an MRI, and you rule out the fact that something is broken or torn, I believe the body can heal itself if given the right conditions. That's the bottom line, and that's how I feel about it. And anybody that is going to tell you the body can't heal itself, I'm not really understanding what is going on. There's got to be something that isn't looked at. So that's how I would answer your question, Dollop. Okay, and here we are at the last question. Is it okay if we walk for more than a half an hour as an outdoor exercise every day having a knee pain? Thanks, Gita. Okay, Gita. There's a lot of factors that go into it. Of course, if you have knee pain, why do you have knee pain? Has the doctor checked it out? Is something broken or torn? You want to rule that out initially. You want to make sure that nothing is broken or torn, and by going for a hike, that you're not making it worse. That's the last thing I'd like to see. So what you need to do is get it checked out first. If you get it checked out and the doctor says there's nothing broken or torn, then it probably wouldn't be a bad thing to go for a half an hour walk if your knee is bothering you. However, you don't want to continue doing that without addressing things. And that is looking at what I refer to in my virtual clinic in those five areas: the water, the nutrition, the exercise, the stretching, and the breathing. And the breathing is absolutely something that you can incorporate when you're hiking. The stretching and the strengthening, I get into that in my ebook, and the rest of the details I get in my virtual clinic, that I go into details of things you can do to create the space in your knee so the nerves aren't being interfered with. Once again, we talked about the water and the nutrition. You want to get the proper amount of water so your body cleans itself out, and the nutrition so the body heals the damaged cells that may have been caused from whatever you did to your knee. So I believe I answered that as the best I could based on the information you gave me. So if that did not cover it, please give me send me another email, or better yet, go to my blog and leave me some feedback there. So those are our questions for today. We got through those for episode 3. And I wish everyone the best. Make sure you take care of yourself. Treat yourself good. And that's very important. We tend to kick our own butts best, I like to say. Please don't do that. Be nice to yourself. Allow yourself time to rest and recuperate and eliminate as much stress as possible that isn't required. And be nice to other people. So that's it for today. Thank you so much for being here, and take care and be well.